One thing I like about a church that walks with integrity is that we don't have to worry about what we do with God's money. We know that we can entrust each other to do the right thing always. That all the tithes, the gifts, and the offerings will be used truly for God's glory. For the sake of the purpose of the ministry, we praise God for that. Amen. But the message that I want to bring forth today is called Holy Boldness. Amen. Holy Boldness. And that is according to the book of Acts, chapter 4, if you would like to go there. The book of Acts, chapter 4. And I wanted to preface the book of 4 by first explaining a little bit here. I have an article or two I wanted to kind of go through here as well. But it's called Holy Boldness, the name of the message. And here we have in the book of Acts, we have all of the apostles who have just previously been baptized at the day of Pentecost. And like a rushing mighty wind, the Spirit of God came through. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. This was the equipping of God's people. God's people being filled with the Holy Ghost to go out with power and demonstration. To go out among the people. To be a witness wherever they go, a light in a dark world. Amen. And so this is what happens when a man or a woman is graciously and miraculously filled with the Holy Ghost. And we thank God for it. Amen. And one thing I want to say here is, in the Christian life is not a showboat. It's a battleship. Amen. Here we have in many churches and we have in many denominations where we have, good to see you, Vicky Joe, that you could show up in this torrential rain pour down. As I was saying, the Christian faith is not about a showboat. It's a battleship. Where you have people in many mega churches and denominations showing up for beauty pageants and who's who and who's being seen talking with who and who just bought a new car and who's wearing a certain dress and who's wearing the brand new Rolex watch and look at me because God must really be with me because I'm all dressed out, you know, like King Tut here. And I have a beautiful house, and I've got a beautiful car, and look at the clothes I'm wearing. But, you know, the Lord teaches us not to look upon these things. That is all vanity. The Lord is looking for someone's heart, whether they're rich or poor. And, you know, all men will stand before God, rich and poor, before God, to give an account. It doesn't matter what sort of clothing you wore. It doesn't matter what kind of job you had. It doesn't matter what kind of car you drove. All of that, my friends, is absolutely irrelevant. What we're talking about is the spiritual. The spiritual readiness. Spiritual preparation. Spiritual maturity and levity. Being ready before God Almighty to be sent out as the apostles were sent out after the day of Pentecost. And according to Acts chapter 4 here, we're going to be going in there momentarily, but they had just come back from healing a lame man in chapter 3. And the reason and where we at in chapter 4 is because we want to understand what happened in chapter 3 and how that they were persecuted. They were brought forth before the council, the rulers of these high priests and all these rulers wanting to know by what name and by whose authority they were able to allow this man to be or work in such a manner where the Lord worked through them to heal this lame man. They said, "Look upon us." And Peter said, "Look straightly into his eye. Silver and gold we have not, but such as I have I give thee. Rise up and walk." And he helped this man rise up by the power of God, and he began to walk and leap for joy. These are the things that we're talking about and how that the Lord wants to use us in like manner. So folks, this is not a showboat religion. This is about the power of Almighty God. But we live in a manner where Christians are the most persecuted group of people on earth. Anywhere in the world you go, you will find Christians, true Christians, will be signaled out for persecution. People will be looking for them, hunting them down, trying to destroy their lives in any way, any manner they can find. I just want to read an article here real quick, and I hope that you will bear with me with this. But it is a true article of how Muslims think, how they talk among themselves, and how that they read the Quran, and the Quran supposedly a holy book to them, but it's unholy in respect to what we know, to the holy word of God, the King James Bible. We know that the Quran is a book full of evil. We know that homosexuality is wrong, abortion is wrong, killing people is wrong. And we know that the Quran is full of evil demise against all those who would follow after Christ. And we know that the Quran speaks against God's people, that we are known to them as infidels. But we know that throughout the whole world, Christians are known as infidels, they're known as bigots, they're known as hypocrites, they're known as this or that, because it's the devil's trick. It's the devil's way of causing people to persecute and to come against what God created, what God meant to be a witness. But we see God had warned us that we would be sent out as sheep among wolves. But we'd be sent out among people who were looking to kill and to destroy, as the devil himself would be doing. He was sent out, the devil, to kill, steal, and destroy all that God has done and created for His good purpose. And we know that the devil is a liar, and everything he does is a lie. Amen. But here, I wanted to read here. And here, this is in a country, I think it's in Uganda somewhere, or Musba, or I'm sorry, it's in Sudan. It's in Sudan here. And here, let me just read a little bit, just a few verses, of how these people think. It says here, in 1986, Musba entered the Ubek tribal capital of Kali and declared to its Christians, "You are all going to convert from Christianity to Islam today. Because here's what's going to happen to you if you don't." Musba then killed 5 church leaders in front of the gathered villagers when they refused to convert. He began killing unarmed men, women, and children. Some were herded at gunpoint into a hut and then run over by a 50-ton Soviet-made tank. He also herded groups of about a dozen people into a hut where he asked the first person, "Do you renounce Jesus Christ?" Anyone who refused was killed by a 3-inch nail driven into the top of their head. So these are the atrocities, the cruelties of man and how they think, how they are used by the devil himself to destroy people all over the world who are Christians, who are fighting for God. And here's another quote I wanted to make mention here. "This is a holy war," said one Muslim fighter, it says here, "gesturing to the Christian part of the divided seaside city with a spear. We are obliged to defend the faith, or our faith." In other words, they try to speak and talk like as if they're evangelical Christians defending the faith. But see, the devil always sends a counterfeit. There's always been a counterfeit against God's people, against the truth of God found written in the Word of God. Hasn't there? There's always been a counterfeit somewhere. And we know that the devil is a liar, has been a liar since the beginning. But, you know, what does it mean to be a true man or woman of God with holy boldness? What does that mean in our lives today? You see, the world is full of Christians who were cowards. They live in a sort of a secret service to God. But we're not called to be in secret service. We're not a part of that kind of group. We're called to walk in a bold light. To not hide our lamp under a shade tree or under a bushel. But we are to be a light in a dark world, boldly sharing and going forth with the Word of God, bringing to people, whether we're in danger or not, whether we're going to be persecuted or not, but that we would just obey the Word of God. As the apostles did, as the Lord told him, he himself was sending his apostles as sheep among wolves. The Lord requires it of us to not be afraid nor to slink back in fear. We know that those who truly have the holy boldness of God fear God first. When they fear God, the Lord's going to give them a holy boldness to go with it. And I know that there are many atrocities out there today will depict the nature and gravity, the very element of the fabric of our society is woven into heathenism, is woven into idols of worship, is woven into all the fleshly things of the world that we have to separate ourselves from. In order to be a light and to have no admixture in us, to be separate, to be holy, and to walk with boldness, we have to be separate from those things first. The Lord teaches us that we must come out of her, my people, that we be not partakers of her sins. And we want to make sure that we are coming out of Babylon, out of Egypt, so that we can be separate. And then we can walk under the authority of Jesus Christ, not under the authority given by men, not under the authority of these rulers and dictators on earth. Our authority, our power comes from Jesus Christ. He's our King. He's our ruler. He is our Lord, God of heaven. There's only one God, one baptism, one light, one gospel. And it was once given, and we are to contend for the faith, no matter what opposition we come in against. We know that in Laos, for example, is a country, a thin strip of country, that is located between Vietnam and, I believe, Cambodia, on the southeastern tip of Asia. And there in Laos, I believe there's, is that the Hmong people, I believe? They are heavily persecuted daily. Oftentimes at gunpoint and told to give up their faith or die. Oftentimes in Laos, this Asian country, people who refuse to give in to the dictated rulership of this earth, of the devil and his minions. Oftentimes, their officials are told to go and live with these Christians, live in their home, and these Christians are responsible to feed them, to give whatever they need to these officials from the government until they finally cave in and renounce their faith. These are things that happen all over the world around us. Things that oftentimes here in America we're sheltered from. But you see, what is a true holy boldness? It's not about some man or woman going rudely to another person and arrogantly getting into their face and saying all manner of things about you need to repent or you need to do this or you need to do that. No, no, no. That's not holy boldness, is it? What is holy boldness? Holy boldness is how you react, is how you carry yourself in the face of opposition. When you are in face to face with the devil himself, holy boldness is going to rise up and is going to stand firm against that wicked evil. Whether, no matter what it is in your life, a holy boldness is what stands up against wicked and evil opposition right in your face. That's what holy boldness is. Now let's go to chapter 4 and verse 1. And it says here, now remember, this is where Peter and John are going to be imprisoned because they dared to heal a lame man through the power of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Let's go to verse 1 in chapter 4 of Acts. And it says here, "And as they spake unto the people and the priests, and the captain of the temple, and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead." Now, isn't this something that we are to strive for? To come alive, that once we are born again and baptized, we are baptized through Jesus and in death, into His death, and we rise up to walk in the newness of life, to be resurrected from the old way. And you see, there are churches out there and there are organizations and people groups all over who want you to just don't cause any waves. Don't rock the boat. You know, don't say anything in opposition to what we believe. But you see, the true word of God is going to cut going in and coming back out. It's meant to separate. Holy boldness. Holy boldness is what the Lord gives you when you need it. It's what He fills you with. Without the Holy Ghost, you won't have any holy boldness, my friends. And here, let's go to chapter 3. "And they laid hands on them, and put them in hold unto the next day, for it was now eventide." In other words, don't be alarmed and don't be surprised when they start laying hold of you, when they put their hands upon your life, when they put their hands on you and they drag you through the streets. I'm reminded of what they do in some of these countries, and they brag about it. How that this one man was found bragging how that he would drag these people from the West who knew the Lord through the streets behind a car. And their body, now dead and tattered, torn, clothes no longer on their body, and they're naked, and they're driving this vehicle all over in a mockery, because this man was a Christian, you see. And they would brag about what they did for Allah. I did this for Allah. I did this for Islam. I did this for the Hindu god of, you know, all these other Hindu gods. They have many. And all these other gods that they would, anything against Christianity. Any kind of god anywhere. And they'll rise up. Buddha, in fact, also known, many of the Buddhist people are usually not very violent. But you see, in many countries, they are rising up now. They're rising up, Buddhists, against Christians. Rising up in opposition to physically hurt and harm Christian people. Now, let's go on here. It says here in verse 4, howbeit many of them which heard the word believed. And the number of the men was about 5,000. How many know that the Lord, when He does a work, that His word does not return void? How many know that when a word goes forth, when that word goes forth, that word lives? That word will live forever because it's the God's holy word. It's God's truth. It's God's way. It doesn't return void ever. It's going to be planted somewhere in someone's heart. And it's going to be watered. The Lord gives the increase. Amen. We know that He's the one that's going to enable the word to grow in someone's heart somewhere. It doesn't matter the opposition. It says here in verse 5, and it came to pass on the morrow that the rulers and elders and scribes and Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. Oh yeah, these high priests. Well known. High priests. They were well known of all the people. They all knew who Caiaphas was and Alexander and all these other high priests. They were well known and most of them were well respected. But you see, under the thin veneer of their respectability was the mask of the devil himself. Under that thin veneer of nicety and all these, you know, platitudes and accolades that they give to people that they approve of and the people that they, others that don't rock the boat. But as soon as you speak in Jesus' name, as soon as you start speaking the truth, and they begin to see a power coming and emanating from those apostles, they begin to get a little jealous. They want that power. They want that notoriety. They want to be seen and heard only as God's people. But that's not how it is in reality. God's people are chosen and sent forth. God's people are equipped to go forth and to minister to people all over, wherever they are, whoever they are. Whether you're in a church or whether you're a missionary or whether you're this or that, the Lord will equip you. Whether you're a church worker, the Lord equips His people. And He'll send you forth. But you see, these high priests get very jealous. See, they want your respect. And they want your money too. They want all that there is so they can greedily take it and use it for their own fleshy desires. High priests. And here we go in verse 7. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have ye done this? Have you anyone ever asked you by what authority or what power you have to go and to speak to people in Jesus' name? We often don't hear that in this country, do we? We have a lot of freedoms here yet, even now, in spite of all the trouble, and in spite of all the ensuing trouble we know is going to come upon this nation. But yet at the same time, we have brothers and sisters all over the world who are dying for their faith daily, who are being ridiculed, who are being murdered, who are being shamed in front of family and friends because they've converted to Christianity. They now follow Jesus. Here it says in verse 8, then Peter, now understand that Peter, who at one time denied Jesus 3 times, we know that he had a problem with denying God. And he had a problem with wanting to look good in front of other people. But you see, all of that goes to the wayside when the Lord fills you with His Spirit. All of that just seems to kind of slink away. As cowards do. Cowardice spirits. They kind of fall to the wayside when the Lord Jesus Christ comes into your heart. When you are truly converted by the Holy Ghost and filled with His power, no demon, no devil can stand in that face. No demon in hell can handle being around the Holy Ghost. And we know that those who have the power of the Holy Ghost living in them will walk and talk and be a man or woman of boldness in everything that they do, but yet they are known by their fruits. You will know them. And when you stand up in the face of opposition, when trouble comes your way, you're going to do one of 2 things. You're going to give in or you're going to stand up. That's just the way it is. Either you have power in you and strength of character that God gives you, or you don't. And if you don't, ask the Lord to fill you with His Spirit. Ask the Lord to fill you with His power, His strength. And He will. There's hope. We're not all there yet. Of course, we don't ever get there until we're there, do we? No one has arrived while we're here on this earth. Amen. And it says here, then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole. In other words, he is putting them in their place. He's reminding them that the very person they crucified was by the very same hand that this man was made whole. They weren't taking the credit. They were now walking with great humility. They knew where the power came from. They didn't take the credit as these high priests wanted, you see. They're men and women of God who don't do that. It says here in verse 9, or verse 10, be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by Him doth this man here before you stand here before you whole. And this is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. See, in other words, these very people that would come against God would be crushed because they did not believe. But those who believed, the Lord would make whole. He would redeem. Even though they would be scattered, even though there would be a remnant, it's not about the physical, it's about the spiritual. He would make them whole. He would make them come alive again. It doesn't matter what if you have tattered and torn clothes. It doesn't matter if you've got, ailments, physical ailments. or you're not perfect, you make mistakes all the time, so what? God has used the foolish things of this world to confound the wise, didn't He? Nobody is perfect. We shouldn't be so high-minded to think that we should be. But let God be God in everyone's life. Just let God have rulership over you. And if we all prefer another before ourselves, there won't be any troubles like that. We won't be looking to try to have a one-upmanship over somebody else in any way. There will be no matter of evil discussion behind someone's back. There'll be none of that. When you prefer somebody else before yourself, you'll know of a surety that you're walking in the trueness and in the Spirit of God. You're walking in that love of Christ. And you'll be equipped and filled. So why don't we move on here? And it says here, where am I here? In verse 12. In verse 12 it says here, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now tell that to most people. Tell that to these high priests, these Catholics, and these other groups, these Mormons, and all these other types of people groups out there who think they're saved and going to heaven. They think they've already arrived and they've got all the answers. But they're lost. They're lost and they're deceived if they think that there is some other way into heaven. There is no other way and there's no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. But if you were to start saying that and preaching that, people will come out of the woodwork to tell you how wrong you are. They're going to come against you and they're going to persecute you and they're going to slander your name and call you a heretic and they're going to call you a deceiver. They're going to call you a wolf in sheep's clothing even because they're unbelievers. Because they don't have the truth in them. Their father is the devil. Their father is the one that they listen to, the one that lies all the time. But we of the truth, of the light, of the Spirit, walk differently. We don't have to contend with other flesh, but we do contend for the faith, for the truth that we find here written in the Holy Word of God. It says here in verse 13, and now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Now, there is a big lesson in this verse right there, my friends. That lesson is like peeling an onion. Many variables can be found in this one verse alone. Many lessons. But let me just say this as we sung that song in the garden today. Those that walk and talk with Him and listen to Him, Jesus will speak to your heart. He'll help you, lead you, and guide you. There's no such thing as living a mediocre life for Jesus. Either you're going to be full of Him and you're going to be hot for Him and on fire. There's going to be a fire in your belly or not. Or you're going to be lukewarm. See, they took note that they were with Jesus. They spent time with Jesus. Now my question to you is, are you spending time with Jesus? Are you taking time to spend your energy and your life on your knees seeking after God? Are people going to take notice and say, look, that man and that woman, they're different. They take note that you are different. You must be a Christian. But they took note and said they spent time with Jesus. Are we being noted likewise? Are we being characterized by our everyday living, spending time with Jesus, spending time with the Lord, so that He will teach us, so that He will lead us in the manner that is not the way of the world, but the way of the Spirit of God. And the Lord is going to lead us oftentimes into areas where there's going to be trouble, where there's going to be opposition, where there's going to be cruelty, where there's going to be problems in life that you wonder, how did I get in this mess? How did I get into this fix? How in the world did I ever find myself in this position? But you see, that is God's way of bringing you through the refiner's fire, of bringing you through to perfect you, to equip you, to enable you to one day walk in a new manner, whereby you will say, I trust God, though He slay me, yet will I trust in Him. No matter what you go through in life, the Lord will be there with you. But He has to bring you through the refiner's fire, like Fuller's soap, and cleanse you, and show you all manner of things that you must suffer, as He did with Paul. And Paul realized, but see, he had a goal. That goal was to finish the race, fight the good fight, to run the race to the end, to endure to the end. And as Christians walking in a holy boldness, that is what the Lord requires of all of us. All of you who are online and all those who are here, there is no easy way to heaven. I just want you to know that right now. There is no easy way. There is only one way, and that one way is difficult. In fact, the word narrow means difficult. Did you know that? So there's only one way, and that's God's way. That's God's perfect way to perfect us. Here, and it says here in verse 14, and beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. We know that the Lord always leaves a witness. There's always a witness somewhere. Someone to raise their hand and say, look, what you are saying is false. God's way is true. Let every man be a liar, but God be true, the Bible says. Amen? It says here in verse 15, but when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves. There's always going to be devilish plans going forth, speaking behind your back how that they can misappropriate their authority for the sake of persecuting you. There is a story of a man who was overseas, and I think it was in an Asian country. He was going to stand trial because he wouldn't renounce his faith in Christ. And so the very guard that was sent to guard this man beat him into a coma. Instead of finding a little guard, you know, a little rest from all the clamoring crowds calling for his death, the very person that was sent to guard him was the very one that beat him into a coma. This is what Christians face all over the world daily. In fact, there are about 450 Christians known to die every day. That's almost well over 200,000 plus, perhaps, in many estimations, over 200,000 a year die. Now, I don't know to what great accuracy that really is. It could give a little or take a little. We don't all know for sure. But these are estimations that we are given. And to me, that's quite astonishing. And it says here in verse 16, saying, what shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem. And we cannot deny it. In other words, they knew it was the truth. They knew who healed them. God did. But yet in their evil hearts, like the devil himself, he will try to cover it up. Matter of fact, you have governments all over the world that if they know of a notable miracle or something that would give glory to God, they put a hush-hush on that. And they say, don't let anyone know about it. Don't, you know, they control the media. But yet somehow, there's someone somewhere that will put something on YouTube or somewhere that an article will appear here or there. They can't hide everything forever. God has a way of revealing things. Amen. And it says here in verse 17, but that it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. How many know that the devil hates the name of Jesus? We know that the Jewish people hate the name of Jesus. We know that they think that they can get to heaven because somehow they're special and elitist. But that's not true. Even Jewish people, even among those Schofield-type people all over the earth who preach Schofieldism, the Kenneth Hagins of the world who think that somehow the Jewish people are special, they don't have to go through Jesus to enter into heaven, that they don't need to be saved. They said that they're already saved without going through the blood of Christ. Well, how folly is that? How ridiculous is that, right? And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all or teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Now, what we are talking about today is that holy boldness. That holy boldness is what we just saw Peter and John speak up in the face of opposition and say, whether we do or not, you judge, but we cannot but help but not speak the truth as we know it, as the Lord has revealed it to us, as we are known and known among men. We must preach the truth. We cannot hide behind some wall or hide our light under a bushel tree or blanket. No. We have to go onward and upward, forward. This is not a show. This is a real battlefield. This is something that is real. Our faith must be real. And there are many out there who will say, Lord, Lord, help me to enter in. But they will not be able to, because their faith was not based in Jesus. They thought they could go in another way. They thought it was okay to just go in another way and somehow the Lord's going to accept me because I didn't hurt anybody and I didn't say anything wrong about anyone. But I don't, you know, I'm a good person. Somehow they think they're still good enough. But you see, there is none righteous. Our righteousness is as filthy rags. And we know that there is none righteous but Jesus. That He only, alone, through the blood of Christ, enables us to be saved from sin, death, and hell. Amen? And it says here, in 21. And in Acts 4:21, it says here, so when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all men glorified God for that which was done. See, they fear people. They fear people. They don't fear God. They fear people. How that we know that the wicked oftentimes, they run thinking somebody is pursuing after them when none pursue them. But it's the Lord who chases after them. He chases them. He'll send His angels and He'll chase them away. Amen. It says here in verse 22, "For the man was above 40 years old, on whom this miracle of healing was showed. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them." In other words, they went back to the other apostles, to their fellowship of other saints, and they gathered together to exhort, to encourage, to comfort, in the knowledge and understanding that we can be bold. We can walk in a holy boldness. It doesn't matter, because see, God will always lead, guide, and direct and protect you no matter what you're going through, no matter what circumstance you're in. It doesn't matter. See, they go back and they can talk to these apostles who would be encouraged to do the same. That's what we're trying to do today, right here, right now. All of us, all you who are online, anywhere in the world, stand up for what's right. Do a good work for God. Don't slink back. Don't be a coward, but be a man and a woman full of courage, full of bravery. Now that's noble. That's right. That's good. And God makes no distinction between male and female when it comes to the Spirit of God. We can all rise up and be men and women full of noble character, full of faith and strength, full of the power of the witness of God Almighty in our hearts. Amen? There's no one special any more than anybody else. I can tell you that right now. No one here is more special than anybody else. I can tell you that right now. And all those who are online, I'm sure you would agree. We all are of one accord, of one agreement. And if we walk together in truth, we'll prefer one another before us, right? Amen? There's no elitist mentality here. No, we don't allow it. We don't accept that here. And it says here in verse 24, "And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord." Oh, amen. "And said, Lord, Thou art God, which hast made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, who by the mouth of Thy servant David hast said, Why did the heathen rage, and the peoples imagine vain things. How many know that the heathens are raging all around us? When you speak truth, the heathens will rage. We have groups overseas who many, if a woman is pregnant and she's a Christian, they will kill that woman, they'll rip open her belly, and they'll kill the child. We have groups all over the world where we have in China, for example, 4 o'clock in the morning, we have Christians that will, over 300 Christians were in a church worshiping God 4 o'clock in the morning. It was in the middle of the woods. And the police found out where it was, and they crept up to the building, found not expecting to see anyone there. They just wanted to destroy the building. But what happened was they found 300 believers and they're worshiping God. 4 o'clock in the morning. So they went back, but came back at 8 o'clock in the morning with a bulldozer, and they bulldozed this church into the ground. But by then the believers had gone. But we know that God protects His own. But we know the devil is out to kill, steal, and destroy, isn't he? But we have an opposition and we have an adversary. It doesn't mean that we're going to shrink back. No, God's people walk in a holy boldness, amen? There is no such thing as shrinking back in God's kingdom. And by the way, that doesn't mean you retire either. There is no retirement in God's army. You keep going and you endure to the end. There is no such thing as kicking back and with a six-pack of beer and kicking back and watching the football game and said, I did my duty for mankind. I did my job for God for 20, 30 years as a preacher. Now I'm going to enjoy myself. It's not how it works. Okay, praise God. And it says here, the kings of the earth, in verse 26, the kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against His Christ. In other words, it's no secret by now. We all know that rulers everywhere are against God. Governments come against God. Anyone who speaks the name of Jesus automatically is hated. I know of a story of two, over in an Asian country. I forget the name of the Asian country. There's a lot of small little countries. It might have been an Antria. That would be in Africa. Either way, there was a man, he was a city official, who, when he had these Christians ready to stand trial, the only good thing he could say to them was, you all need to be shot and killed. And this is the kind of treatment like second-class citizens, Christians, are treated like in many countries all over the world. Amen? That doesn't mean you shrink back. That means that you glorify God to be counted worthy to suffer persecution in His name. Now that is something to rejoice about. Now it says here, in verse 27, for of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast appointed both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles, and the people of Israel were gathered together, for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. We know that they hide in their secret chambers and councils together. And they determine beforehand, even before they are rightly judged, before whether it be a tribunal or whatever else, they've already determined their destiny. They've already determined what's going to happen to them. But they have to put on a show, you see. They have to bring them to a trial and say that we've given them a fair trial. But oftentimes in these countries, when you're in persecution, they ignore your rights. You have no rights as a Christian. Somehow, as a Muslim or a Buddhist or some other entity, you have rights. But as a Christian, you have none. You have zero rights. You're treated like an animal. It says here in verse 29, and now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. This is what we're talking about. A holy boldness. A people that through the face of every storm, through the face of every threatening lie, that we can stand up as men and women of God and be bold. We don't have to shrink back. In God's army, there's only one thing. You go forward. There's no hiding in a foxhole. You go forward with the weapons you are given, the weapon of our warfare, the Word of God, the Spirit of God. You give that, and you give that to people. Don't be afraid. The Lord will be with you no matter what you go through and no matter what storm you're going into. There's always going to be a storm ahead of you, that I promise. In this life, there's always going to be something or someone to overcome. And we are not to be afraid. We are to walk in a holy boldness. And it says here, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child, Jesus. We know that many miracles are done in the name of Jesus. We know that we don't have to worry about what's going to happen, because God is well able to turn things around in your life. No matter what you're going through, and I can say that over and over and over and over again, but until you go through it, until you understand it in your heart and believe, you'll never know what it means to walk in victory. Because it's going through the affliction, it's going through the persecutions in life that allow you to see, know, and understand what it means to walk in victory. Without the persecutions, without the affliction, you don't know what it means to have victory, to overcome. Therefore, that is why we all have to go through it. It's not for just a few, but it's for everyone who names the name of Christ. It could be a physical thing, it could be a monetary thing as part of it, but your faith will always be tested. You can be assured of that. And it says here in verse 31, And when they had prayed, the place was shaken. Did you know that? The place was shaken? How amazing is that, my friends? Thunders and shakings. That is great power. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken, where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they spake the word of God with boldness. You see, when you are filled with the Holy Ghost, you will then have the power to go out and speak boldness. It's right here, written in the Word of God, for all to see, know, and understand. I'm not saying that everyone should, no one's perfect. We all have things to overcome in our own lives. And the Lord, through great long-suffering, forbearance, and patience, will help us to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. That's all part of it. He'll get us to that place where we're ready to be filled with the Holy Ghost, and then to be sent out, to be sent forth, speaking great boldness in the face of opposition. Knowing that we're filled with the Holy Ghost, we're going to be filled with power, having great confidence in the Lord to help us overcome all things in all situations. Amen. That tells us here in 32, and the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. With great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Oh boy, there's great power in that, knowing that when we can all come together in one accord and one agreement, one voice, knowing that it's not impossible to overcome. It's not impossible to overcome opposition in your life. There is no such thing as giving up. As a Christian, as a true child of God, there is no such thing as giving up. Don't ever give up. That should never be in your vocabulary if you are walking with Jesus. Because Jesus will enable you to overcome all things. And I want to encourage you today to don't ever give up. There are times we're in the thick of the battle here. We're going through issues and problems and opposition. And sometimes you think about, boy, wouldn't it be nice to just walk away from it all? Wouldn't it be nice to just say, forget it, I don't want that fight anymore. I'm just going to go take a vacation. I'm just going to go out yonder. I'm going to just forget about it. I'll never have to come back to that place. But God does not call us to do that, does He? We are always fighting, always enduring, always in the battle, pressing on and pressing in. When we see the prize ahead of us, the crown before us, we reach for that crown, don't we? We run for it. We run the race, and we don't stop until we get to the finish line. We give it all we have as men and women of God. As men and women of God, I said. That means everyone. And laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according to he had need. And Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite, and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it, brought the money, and laid it at the apostles' feet. Now, this is a type and shadow of what we are to do. A type and shadow of what we are not only to live, but to do when we go before God. We lay everything, our tithes, our offerings, at the feet of Jesus. We lay our works, our intentions, the motives of our heart, when we go before God in prayer, at the feet of Jesus. We let God take over. We surrender our all to Him. We walk in a holy boldness and let God take care of the details. Life is going to be messy. Life is going to be full of confusion. Life is going to have all kinds of twists and turns in it. We're going to wonder how and the why and wherefores of life and how things got to be where they are. But we're to just forget about all that and lay it at the feet of Jesus. Just lay it down and let God take over. I want to go to Psalm 2, 1 through 4. Psalm 2, 1 through 4, I believe it is. Psalm 2, 1 through 4. And more or less in closing, that I might have another scripture to go to. In closing, but Psalms 2, 1 through 4, bear with me as I go to it. Psalms 2, 1 through 4 says here, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord, and against His anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder, and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. We know that God is able, well able, praise God. He's able to laugh them in derision. He's able to spoil their plans. It doesn't matter what you're going through, amen? It doesn't matter who you are either. The Lord is no respecter of persons. So you don't have to worry about all these things that are going to come upon you. Let God be in control and charge of your life. Sit back and have confidence in His ability to see the salvation wrought out in your own life, as Moses did when the seas parted. Amen. God is well able to turn the seas back in your own life. Philippians 1, I want to go to 1:21 through 25, I believe. Philippians. I'm turning the page here trying to think where I'm at here, so bear with me. Yeah, Philippians. Philippians chapter 1, right here, 21 through 25 is where I want to start in closing. And it says here, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose I wot not, for I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith." Amen. We know that God doesn't give up on us. Paul wasn't giving up on his people. And God doesn't give up on us. We know that we're going to have all kinds of people calling for a holy war against us. We're going to have people like the Lord's Resistance Army, calling themselves the Lord's Resistance Army in Uganda, using the Lord's name to do a dirty work, killing 20,000, using 20,000 children as sex slaves, using them to kill their loved ones. Using them to do all these things in Uganda, this evil man doing this. These are the things that the devil does. This is evil, wicked stuff that the devil is trying to do to destroy, kill. All these things that God has meant for good. There's always going to be a counterfeit somewhere, somehow. But we are not to give up, are we? We are not to shrink back. Though we see all this confusion, as Paul said, we are caught betwixt two. There are so many entanglements, so many variables involved in a person's life that would cause one to question and to wonder, what do I do in this situation? Where do I go from here? What is the answer to this and to that? Things are perplexing. We live in perplexities all the time. But sometimes the only thing we can do is let God do the sorting out. Let God just sort it out for you. And ask God to give you the grace to move on. To take away the things that don't belong in your life. To open up the right doors and close the wrong doors. So that you'll know and you'll have confidence that, Lord, this door is open. Test the door. Pray about it. And if it remains open, go through it. The Lord is with you. Ask God to be with you all the way. Endure to the end. Fight the good fight. Don't give up. Keep moving. Do the right thing. Pray unceasingly. Don't yield to the devil or temptation. These are things that the Lord would have us to do. This is what I'm trying to do, is to encourage you to stand up in the face of opposition and struggle. To come against the wicked, evil nature of the devil. You know, in these countries when they put a gun to their head and they say, denounce Christ or die. What are you going to do? If that were to happen to you, what would your response be? That's a question I think that we all need to think about. You know, about this, you all know about the story of these Christians who lived in this town, and they had this church. It was full of people, and there were these two gunmen that came into the church. Many of you already know the story. But for the sake of emphasis, to bring home what I'm trying to say, these people walking into the church who they wanted to know who was truly of God and who was not. And how that they threatened them, you can either live or die. And they pointed their guns at them. And they said, if you love God, if you want to save your life, you can leave now. But if you love God, you will die. And everybody scattered except a few people. Everybody was climbing through any window or door that was open. They were going through it. They were clamoring to get out of that church. But there was just a few people that remained, the remnant. And when all of them had gone, they laid down their guns. They took off their masks and they said, now we can worship God in the spirit of truth. Now we can truly worship God. And they did so. Among true brothers who they knew they could trust with their lives. And so it is in our lives, my friends. God is looking for people like that. If you were to stand in the face of trial and opposition, would you boldly proclaim Christ as your Savior? And would you boldly say, I will never renounce Christ. Shoot me if you will. You're only threatening me with heaven. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Well, thank you for being here, braving the weather. But that concludes the message of holy boldness. Amen. Praise God. And we're going to go ahead and sing a song or two and be dismissed unto prayer. And I would ask you all, when you go before the Lord in prayer, to count the cost. To go before God, count the cost. And we're going to sing that song, Have Thine Own Way, Lord, right now. We don't have copies of it yet, but just sing along. Amen.